Boys, stop playing with balls near the windows, please. You know you can't do that.
Yeah! NBA Australia! How you gone? That's right, it's NBA Australia. It's Wednesday, April 25. I'm your host, James Clemens. I'm a writer for Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, Red Bull, The Brooklyn Game, and a bunch of other places who want to pay me money. And I'm just hanging out here in Larry Yum Studios, New York City, New York. Making sure you know who's doing what, where they're doing it, why they're doing it, and who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball in the NBA playoffs. Playoffs! Today, just while repping Australia a little bit, eh? So, today's show wraps a fun-ass night of playoff games. We'll wrap Philly, Miami, Bucks, Celtics, Warriors, Spurs. There's also the playoff editions of the usual dumbassery. Yeah, nah. The unpopular opinion of the day and Outback Takehouse. Get some shrimp with your takes. And as we do every day, because all of them are in the playoffs still, we've got the Daily Australian Player Watch, where we check in on what the Australians got up to. We also preview the four games tonight, including Raps, Wiz, Cavs, Indy, and potential closeouts in Houston and OKC. We also have a brand new Mark Brecky, Sweaty White Guy of the Week. And we'll finish off with new Sydney Kings center. Andrew Bogut slams a bunch of Twitter snowflakes from Twitter. It's amazing. It's episode 105. It's NBA Australia. Let's go.
Kia ora, Bruce. This is Stephen Adams, eh, Brew? And you're listening to NBA Australia, eh? Cheer, Brew.
Watch out for the shark attack.
Oh, you better, because it is time for the Daily Whip Around, where we check up on what happened in the NBA last night. Let's get to it. Three very fun games of playoff basketball right there last night. Wow, the first one was in Boston and the Celtics go ahead in their series against Milwaukee, 3-2, with a 92-87 win. Thanks, in part, to a weird snafu at the sort of end with the shot clock. Yeah, NBA refs. Apparently not paying too much attention to the old shot clock in the playoffs. That's fucking weird. We also got the return of Marcus Smart there. Marcus Smart, dude. Dude, I fucking love Marcus Smart. He was everywhere as well, blocking shots. You know, whiffing really badly on threes, diving for balls, passing off game-sealing passes to Al Horford from the floor. You know, the classic Marcus Smart shit. It was glorious to see him back. So for the Bucks, weird game. Giannis had 16 points on 10 shots. He also had 10 rebounds, 9 assists, 2 steals, and 2 blocks. But still, 10 shot attempts. The Celtics really, really just threw the fucking kitchen sink at him, basically trapping him. As often as they could, meeting at the top of the key and basically going, hey, Giannis, what do you want to do? Do you want to shoot it or what do you do? They just basically cut off all these driving lanes. It was fucking fascinating to watch. And something that you got to look into for game six and go, is this going to happen to the Bucks at home as well? I don't know. Meanwhile, with Giannis taking 10 shots, Chris Middleton, that's right, Chris Middleton took 21 shots. That's more than twice. What do you reckon, Stephen A. Smith?
I don't know what I'm going to do with myself. I just don't know.
I don't know either. That's fucking bananas. He ends up with 23 points on his 21 shots. 3 rebounds, 2 assists. I mean, but still, it's nice that he showed up. But at the same time, can't we get a bit more of a spread? The Bucks, Jabari Parker also had 17 points, 8 rebounds. We had 11 off the bench for Shabazz Muhammad.
Not bloody bad, mate. Not bloody bad.
Eric Bledsoe, he finally showed up and played a half-decent game. Unfortunately, you know, they still lost. 16 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, and 3 steals. Malcolm El Presidente Brogdon. Oh, Jesus. 2 points on 1-5 shooting. So, what do you reckon? Play more Deli! Hashtag free fucking Deli. Come on, mate. 16 minutes, 0-2 from the field for Outback Jesus. Both threes looked a bit timid. Actually had an open 3 there that he waved off, passed off over to Jabari on the wing. And you're like, oh, Deli, come on, mate. Best thing was his usual pissy self. But only 16 minutes. I think, look, we'll get to Terry Rozé in a second, but Jesus, right there, there's an answer. It's right there. Thon wasn't great either. Look, we called this yesterday. Look, the Bucks role players on the road, we saw it in games 1 and 2, they just don't fucking rock up. And this is what comes down to, like, you know, having a good coach versus having a shit coach. And yeah, inspiring stuff, not really. Let's get to the Boston Celtics end. On the flip side, Horford had 22 and 14, 2 of 5 from 3, and the ability to stretch the floor from Big L is goddamn so valuable, obviously, but man, when he's actually legit on and trying to kick ass, that dude is fucking scary. Seriously, like when he's actually on, it's like, goddamn, everything flows through him and the Celtics just look unbeatable. So Horford had 22 and 14. Terry Rozier, he had 16 points and 5 assists. Gee, do you reckon Eric Bledsoe knows who the fuck he is now? Just saying. Terry's like, hey, Eric, yep. So my name's Terry. I'm the guy who's going to kick your ass tonight. Eric's like, oh, okay. I made a horrible mistake. this is great, though. Jaylen Brown, one half of the Double J's, 14 points, 6 rebounds, 3 of 8 from 3, but a great stat. His net rating while he's on the court is plus 8.3. So he's offensive over the top of his offensive negative rating. So he's got this huge. The positive for both offensive and defensive equates to plus 8.3. When he's off, the Celtics plummet to minus 42. Plus 8.3 when he's on, minus 42 when he's off. Holy shit, how's that for offensive and defensive net rating? That's pretty bloody good, Jaylen Brown. Think you're pretty good. Jason Tatum didn't really make much of an impact, but it didn't matter because there was just a lot of little bits and bobs floating around for the Celtics. Like Marcus Morris was just okay, and Marcus Smart got enough in the way of the scoring and stuff like that. So look, they got there. That's what happened. Look, Greg Monroe didn't even fucking play. Crazy. So the Celtics, they just smothered the Bucks. Defensively wise, they really just threw, as mentioned, the kitchen sink at Giannis, and then got enough from Rose and Brown behind Horford to really push him over the edge. And that's how they won. So back to Milwaukee we go, I guess. I really thought this game would be a little bit more fun, and it got real tight at the end, but damn. Celtics just kind of had it in hand. You really, you know, you thought basically the entire time, you're like, ah, Celtics are going to win this. So back to Milwaukee, couple of days, see how we go. I like this. I just want Milwaukee to win game 6 so we get 7 games of Aussie on Aussie violence. Tremendous. Bangers, thon and deli. Speaking of bangers, came off the bench. And the Celtics, when bangers doesn't start, they're not that great. And they still won last night. So there you go. Even going against the anti-strain camera. Miami, they go into Philadelphia along with Meek Mill and get their ass whooped. 104-91, Philadelphia win 4-1. That is it. They're through to the second round of the NBA playoffs. They were the first East team to do so. That is pretty, pretty badass, especially when the Raps are playing the fucking Wizards. So Philly go through 4-1. Meek Mill just released after the Philly judge that had been like randomly keeping him in fucking jail because, I don't know, racism probably for the most part. They overturned the original conviction. So he was actually back in jail for a probation violation. But they overturned the original conviction because it was a corrupt cop who gave evidence. And you're like, oh, yeah, that doesn't seem right. So Meek Mill rang the bell there in Philly, and everybody was insane. He got driven to the arena by Kevin Hart and a Philly 76er part owner. That was pretty amazing. Got to feel pretty good. Get out of the joint and just like, hey, shit, I'm going straight to the Sixers game. This is sook. So for the Heat, I mean, they just didn't have it, right? Like the lack of top-end talent really got them in the end. And a couple of not good games by the sort of mid-level dudes that they have where they really just need this like swarm of dudes always sort of being on just didn't quite get there last night. So when you're led by Kelly, that's a girl's name, Olenek. I don't think you're going to win too many games. 18 points for Kelly. Tyler Johnson had 16. Goran the Flog had 15 points on 16 shots and also slapped my grown adult son, Ben Simmons, in the back of the head like a piece of shit. Fuck you, Goran the Flog. I think I now have to fight every Slovenian ever. Pretty sure that's how this works. James Bloodsport Johnson. So this is where it comes down to like the rest of their dudes not getting like over the hump. James Bloodsport Johnson, 10 and 5 for 4 points. Also has 5 rebounds, 5 assists, but Jesus. Richardson's shoulder was still fucked, only played 7 minutes. Hassan Whiteside is just shit. 10 minutes, 0 of 4 from the field for 2 points. Yeah, Hassan, what the fuck, mate? Come on. Wayno Ellington, he hit 3 threes but did nothing else. And look, that's what happens. The Heat, they just couldn't get there. D-Wade also had a real rough one. And look, if this is his last ever game, as we've going to be talking about later. He didn't quite get the Kobe-esque farewell that Kobe got. He went 4 of 15 from the field. That's more Kobe-esque. Went 0 of 2 from 3 and ended up with 11 points. So D-Wade and that whole bench unit for Miami just really couldn't get it going in Philly. And that's why Philly wins. So Philly also 27 from JJ Redick, 6 of 13 from the field, including 5 three-pointers. 27 points, 2 assists. Also, it's really handy to have JJ there at the end of games, and they've kind of figured out how to close out games, which they were not doing at the start of the year. Also, a 10 of 10 from the free throw line. Joel Embiid continues his stellar fucking play in the playoffs. In his third ever playoff game, his first home playoff game, he has 19 points, 12 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 steals and a block. And Big Dick Ben Simmons, Box Hill Benny, 14, 10 and 6 with 2 steals. We'll talk about him at length later. Covington had 10, Dario the homie Saric had 8, and Bellinelli with 11. And that was the difference. It's like those secondary dudes like Covington, Dario, Bellinelli, even TJ McConnell, like really just putting in some quality minutes for Philly and getting them over the hump. Even though they shot 42% and 20 from the field and only 25% from 3, they got it. This is a young team who didn't really feel young. They're an inexperienced team who don't feel inexperienced, right? It's like they just kicked the crap out of a team full of badasses and Kelly Olynyk. It's unreal. So, since 2013, the year the process began, the Sixers have now advanced further in the NBA playoffs than 11 other NBA teams. That is fucking awesome. So let me ask you a question. Would you rather be the Sixers or the Lakers, whose rebuild basically started the exact same year as the Sixers? Holy shit. Give me the Sixers, I think. I'll lay it out there right now. Fucking hell. So Sixers now go through to play the winner of Boston Milwaukee, and I think they'll beat the sans hell out of either of those teams at the moment. Meanwhile, the Heat, they're in cap hell. No draft picks this year. D-Wade might be done. Ouch. But they do have some young dudes in the works. Like, Justice Winslow was really fucking good in this series. Josh Richardson, same sort of thing. Bam! Bam! Adebayo right there, their draft pick from last year. He's clearly the Hassan Whiteside replacement. And I reckon you need to get rid of Hassan ASAP and get Bam in there right now. So weird offseason ahead for Miami. They would be a prime Boogie or Kawhi Leonard destination if they had any picks to give up, but without, I don't know. So there you go. Congrats, Philly. This is fucking amazing. 4-1. They go through the second round. Unbelievable. Sam Hinkie died for this, motherfuckers. All right, speaking of other series is finishing up. Spurs, Warriors. Warriors win 91-99. Warriors in Golden State. Look, this was unbelievable. They had 21. They were 21 zip in fast break points. Spurs got it down to 5 points, though. Warriors were leading for basically the vast majority of this game. And then the Spurs went, hey, man, we aren't going to go out like this. And they did not go out like that. It was unbelievable to watch just the pride and just the sheer guts and determination that the Spurs were in there. They got it down to 5 with 2.5 minutes left. The coward, Kevin Durant, drove basically into the court and dunked then. And the Spurs just kept coming. They got it back to 5. Then they got it to 4. Then they got it to 2 points with 57 seconds left. They had a 14-4 run. And then the Warriors just kept getting Kevin Durant the ball and let him win it for them. And that's what happened. So let's talk about the Warriors first up. Look, the way they have their runs and bursts of like 7 or 8 or 9, 10, 11 straight points to make a 7-point game into like a 15 or 18-point game out of nowhere is just fucking stunning, isn't it? Like, how just the sheer, like, chutzpah it takes to just go, oh, wait, no, fuck you. We're just going to kick your ass now. He's unbelievable. Like, they'll streak up the court. Someone will lose track of the coward Kevin Durant for a split second, and then bam, you've got a 3. And you're, oh, man, we were close, and now we're getting beaten. And they did that across 4-minute stretches, both the second and third quarters, and basically put the Spurs out of it. The Spurs came all the way back, but, oh, man, it's just so easy for the Warriors sometimes. And this is without Steph. So, look, this was a good showing by the Warriors, but at the same time, you just, they still look kind of vulnerable. Look, Klay had 24 points on 11 of 22 shooting, 1 of 5 from 3. He had 17 in the first half, though. Really put the hammer down. 25 for the coward Kevin Durant, 8 of 19 from the field, 1 of 8 from 3. And yeah, when the coward goes 1 of 8 from 3, you're probably going to stand a bit of a chance against the Warriors. Thing is, that doesn't happen very fucking often. Draymond had a hell of a game. Y'all forget about Dray. 17 points, 19 rebounds, 19 rebounds, 7 assists. And meanwhile, Sean Livingston, Kevon Looney, and David West were pretty crucial off the bench. Patty Mills basically had a specky taken on him by Kevon Looney there as well. But I don't know, man. Like, the Warriors, it was kind of like when they were having those stretches, you're like, yeah, man, this is like what you expect from the Warriors, and they're flexing. The fact that the Spurs are just such a fucking stand-up organization, so well coached, and they stood up to them and flexed back and nearly got in there, is a testament to the Spurs. So the Spurs, gallant in defeat. They're just a really weird team without Kawhi. And also with Danny Green all of a sudden more useful playing like fucking lawn bowls or something other than basketball. It's weird. They used to have basically one of the best wing defensive rotations in the NBA. And now Danny Green is like, all right, so I'll try to shut down Clay. Also, now I can't shoot a basketball. You're like, what the fuck happened, Danny Green? Jesus Christ, mate. So it's a bit rough when Danny Green can't shoot and Kawhi can't play basketball apparently anymore. So LaMarcus Aldridge, he was one of the dudes who rocked up for the Spurs along with Patty Mills in this series. LaMarcus, 30 points in this game, 12 rebounds, 4 assists, absolute beast. And you know, I've given LaMarcus Aldridge a lot of shit and I will continue to do so, but he was fucking badass in this series. Huge game from Patty Thrills, woo! 18 points, 7 of 15 from the field, 4 of 10 from 3, also out of 5 rebounds, but come on, man. We were all there for Manu Ginobili. 10 points in what may have been his last game. Also had a typical kind of like, I threw you a pass. Where the fuck were you? Turnover. That was his probably his last play if he decides to hang him up. So, but really for the Spurs, it really came down to Pau Gasol having a shit one. He had 1 point in 18 minutes with those big fucking spaghetti arms. Old man can't fucking hit a shot over a dude who's like a foot and a half shorter than him. It's a tough one. Danny Green, 0 points in 16 minutes. DeJounte Murray had, only played 18, probably could have played more. Rudy Gay had 9. Tony Parker, I'm the Tony Parker. I shall sleep with your wife. How's this feel? 4 points in 14 minutes. Just a weird-ass team without Kawhi, aren't they? It's hard. Ah, man. For the Spurs, man, this is probably the most tumultuous offseason in the past 20 years they'll have coming up, which is pretty weird to talk about. But hey, man, makes the Spurs interesting. And for the Warriors, that's it. A gentleman's sweep as they go through 4-1 to face the Pelicans on Saturday. And look, there's no team more deserving of a gentleman's sweep than the Spurs. So good job, Spurs. On your Warriors for going through. Give me Warriors Pelicans. I cannot fucking wait for that. All right, so let's get to the NBA Australia approved performance of the night.
That's not a knife. That's a knife.
That was a knife. The Philadelphia 76ers. Holy shit. They're all like, hey, you see that Miami Heat team? Yeah, fuck those guys. Man, they went in and kicked the crap out of them in their own building, and that was awesome. Philly, they're just like, man, we're going to protect this home court and win ourselves a fucking playoff series. So I'll talk about them more at length in a second. So extra, that's a knife. That's not a knife. That's a knife. Marcus Smart and Al Horford for the fucking Celtics against the Bucks. Smart all over the floor, passes the ball out to Horford. They win the game. That was a hell of a knife move. Just the old fucking right there. And the coward, Kevin Durant, also a knife performance and the death for the Spurs last night. 10 of their last 12 points there for the Warriors. Brought them home when the Spurs got it back to within two with a minute to go. They just leaned on KD and won it. The jumper that he took basically when they're only up two out of a timeout, he's like, Draymond basically burnt their last time out. They got the ball eventually to KD. Hits this like long two and you're like, oh, yeah, that dude is pretty good at basketball. So on to Kevin Durant, I guess. It's not a bad game, mate. Not a bad game. I mean, 25 points for the game. It wasn't an absolute, ass kicking. But man, when it actually was right there at the death, he was there. So there you go. All right, who's old mate? No mates today.
Old mate, no mates.
Gee, do you reckon old mate, no mates is Hassan Whiteside in Miami today? How he comes out of that game going, I'm going to have to talk to management about minutes in my role. Yeah, best of luck there, big fella. You're going to be talking to management over text when they go, yo, you've been traded to like Sacramento, dog. Sorry, your son. Bet your shit. Deal with it. All right. What about a new segment? Who was the bitch ass of the night? Oh, the bitch ass of the night. The Heat. More specifically, that fucking Slovenian flog, Goran All-Star Dragic, slapping my grown adult son Ben Simmons in the back of the head as he goes past. What the fuck? Fuck you, Goran, you flog. Not sure how that was a basketball play and not an ejection. He literally just fucking slaps him in the back of the head. How is that not a flagrant two? Like, what the fuck? Fuck you, Goran. A bit frustrated there, Goran. He averaged 18-4. Yeah, you got your ass kicked, and you were a bitch ass of the night. Pretty bloody good.
Ugh.
Fucking Goran Dragic. Really, an all-star over Big Ben Simmons. Fuck you. All right, speaking of which, who was better than Lonzo Ball last night?
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you'll get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros. Now I can be average. You're coming for everybody.
Coming for everybody. That's right. Big Dick Ben Simmons. Box Hill Benny. Woo! Big Simo. Not only at 14-10-6 last night, but in his first ever playoff series, Simmons averaged 18.2 points, 9 assists per game, 10.6 rebounds a game, 2.5 steals, and 1 block per game on 50% shooting from the field. In his first ever playoff series as a fucking rookie. Unbelievable. The best part is he cleaned up D-Wade. He got tunneled in the air last night, hit the ground harder than a sack of shit, bounced straight back up like nothing happened. But to talk more generally about the Sixers, like, probably my favorite part of this entire series was that the Sixers went up against the Heat. A bunch of badass motherfuckers like James Bloodsport Johnson and dirty pricks like Kelly, that's a girl's name, Olynyk. And Simmons on the Sixers didn't flinch, let alone fucking back down. Like, there could not have been more of a fitting and testing first-round opponent for them than the Heat, just to go, oh yeah, are you any fucking good, Philadelphia? And the Sixers went, oh yeah, yeah. Yeah, nah, we're pretty good. Like, could you imagine them taking on Boston or Milwaukee and then just, like, kind of stomping them? You're like, oh, shit, sure. At least you know that the Heat fucking took it to them. And Philly came out going, yeah, we're pretty good. Fuck you. How's that sound? Meanwhile, speaking of better than Lonzo Ball, Lonzo's out there in Reseda, like in some Reseda Catholic school fucking gym playing against some Mexican day worker in denim shorts and his dad's big baller league or whatever the fuck. So... On your Ben Simmons, that was awesome. You were better than Lonzo Ball last night. All right, we'll be back right after this with some Yeah Naz. This is Andrew Bogut, and you are listening to NBA Straya. All right, we're back. It's NBA Straya. It's Yeah Nah. We take three NBA storylines, decide whether they're more yeah or more nah. Number one, with Meek Mill freed. Does this mean Philly will win the title? Yeah nah. Yeah. Fucking might. They win the Super Bowl. They beat Villanova in the fucking NCAA tournament. Give it to them, Box Hill Benny. You and Rocky. You can become fucking Philly legends. I love it. This is great. Number two, is Chris Webber right? Would Draymond not start for some NBA teams? Yeah, nah, not some. He'd start for all. Chris Webber, you fucking flog. God damn, he comes up with some dumb shit sometimes. Usually he's pretty good. But God, he makes a really kind of dumb point at the end of most of his statements. And you're like, I mean, I can see your point, but it's a shit one, you fucking moron. All right. Let's go bigger. We've got a couple of extra ones today. So, number three, is that it for the Spurs? Yeah, I guess. Fucking, like, I don't know. It's sad, but inevitable, isn't it? With the Kawhi situation, it looks like as Dunsky as Gonsky. Like, and even if not, like, what are your building blocks? Like, we talked about Miami. They've at least got Winslow. Bam. Josh Richardson. I mean... For the Spurs, you've got LaMarcus Aldridge and Kawhi. Kawhi is like, I want fucking out of here, pal. And then you've got behind that DeJounte Murray, Pau Gasol, Davis Bertans, Danny fucking Green. He fell a fuck off the cliff like Homer going to Springfield Gorge. Holy shit. It's almost to the point where you can almost imagine like Pop going, I'm good. I'm going to go into politics. Crazy times in San Antonio, man. Speaking of which, bonus yeah, nah, should Manu pucker up, boys? Yeah, nah. Nah, fuck off. Come on, give it one more year, Manu. Fuck, play until you don't wanna. Play until you're 70. I don't give a shit. More Manu forever. Love you, Manu. Extra bonus, should D-Wade bow out as well? Pucker up, boys. Yeah, nah. Maybe. Yeah, I mean, he's got the rings, he's got the money. What's he going to achieve in Miami now with Hassan and Goran the flog? Maybe one more year for D-Wade. Just like ride it out, I think. One full year with Miami as opposed to this weird Cleveland, half Cleveland year, a couple of years in Chicago, bullshit. Ride out one more year in Miami and see how you go. Come off the bench. You don't seem like you're much of a mentor, so I don't know how that's going to work, but yeah, give him one more, I reckon. So actually, yeah, nah, he shouldn't bow out just yet. So let's get to look at me, the unpopular opinion of the day. What do you reckon?
Now look at me, please. Look at me.
Look at me. Look, I don't know about you, and I'm not sure if this is unpopular, but fuck. I could just further that Manu and the Spurs conversation. I could see the Spurs trading everybody and just starting completely afresh. I don't know if that's an unpopular opinion, but I think it might also be the smart option. Like, LaMarcus Aldridge's value is not going to get higher, for instance. And Kawhi, look, if he doesn't want to play there, get fucking rid of him and just go, all right, what are we going to get back and just go clear the fucking decks, let's go again. I reckon that may be what happens. How about Outback Takeouts though for today? Get some shrimp on your takes. It's Outback Takeouts. Come on down. We've got specials on Wednesday, including triple shrimps, triple takes. Well, actually just one take, but you know, go fuck yourself. Also, Alice Springs chicken. All right, Outback Takeouts for today. Golden State have an 87% BPI of a chance of winning from ESPN, apparently. And you know what? Fuck those nerds. The Pelicans can beat the Warriors. Outback Takeouts. The Pelicans will beat the Warriors. Not bad. All right, we'll be back after this with Australian Player Watch in just a second. Let's do that. Yeah.
Oi, 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 it's old mate Dally over here. That's right, Matty Della Vadova. And you're listening to NBA Straya.
All right, we're back. It's the NBA Straya Australian Player Watch. Ben Simmons last night, as mentioned, we've talked about it at length. Game 5 back in Philly, closing out Miami. Pretty bloody good. He did it. He crushed him. Amazing drives, a couple of dishes. Oh, you look so fucking good. His dish, I think, to both Covington and Embiid for just passes where he's like, oh, head on the swivel. Yep, gotcha. Bang. We're beautiful. Even a couple of back cuts as well. He also tried a couple of little fadeaway jumpers in the key that did not fall and did not look great either. So I don't know. Maybe work on those there, Big Benny. He had 14, 10, and 6. Couple of steals. Looked great. Through to the second round, baby. Nice one. All right. How about Patty Mills, though? Patty Mills had probably his best game in the series, but the Spurs ended up with a gentleman's sweep. Patty Mills, 36 minutes. He has 18 points. He goes 7 of 15 from the field, 4 of 10 from 3. Pretty bloody good, Patty. Also has 5 rebounds and no assists, but only 1 turnover. Looked pretty good out there, too. It's like he's hitting his shots. He hit his stride right at the end, and it just wasn't enough because, yep, the Spurs got no one else out there. I'll tell you that much. All right, Joe Ingles and Dante Exum played today in OKC, trying to close out the Thunder. Last night, Dele! Hashtag free Dele, as mentioned. Free Dele, 16 minutes, 0 points, 0 of 2 from the field, 1 rebound, 1 assist, 1 steal, 2 turnovers. But look, played okay against Terry Rozier. Hey, reckon you just need to get him some more minutes there, the Bucks. Hashtag free Dele, let's do it. Thon did not show up in this game. Trick or treat Thon. After two good games in Milwaukee in game 3 and 4, where he had a combined 10 blocks, and this one, he fouled out in 23 minutes. Not as good. 1 of 5 from the field, 0 of 3 from 3. Yeah, not great, mate. Not great. 2 points, 2 rebounds, fouled out. Not great, Thon. Come on, mate. Bangers Baines, game 5 in the Boston win. In Boston, 10 minutes off the bench, 2 of 2 from the field, 4 points, 2 rebounds. Pretty quiet one for Bangers, but when he was out there, you fucking knew about it. Set some, Jesus, like massive picks. Just laid out some motherfuckers. So Not bloody bad, mate. Not bloody bad. That's the Australian player. Watch Andrew Bogut. He's just out there back in Australia now. Kyrie was on the bench for Boston as well. So let's get to the Mark Bradke Sweaty White Guy of the Week Memorial Hall of Fame All-Star. There you go. I was going to talk about Jim McIlvain, but we'll save that for another week. So if this is it, I'm a Miss You Manu Ginobili. That's our Sweaty White Guy of the Week. Manu Ginobili. Dude is jacked and sweaty and bald. He's like an Argentinian Phil Smythe and had one of the great NBA careers. I mean, we all thought the motherfucker was done in like 2013, and it's been 5 years, and he's scored like an extra 3,000 points and played like 330 more games, and he's still schooling fools. Man, it's just not going to feel like the playoffs for like the rest of the next couple of months if we don't get 40 shots of Manu barking instructions. Hey, 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 listen to me, I'm Argentinian, hey, fuck, I'm over there. With rivers of sweat dripping off that giant beak of his. Our best bit too is for Manu, look, respect. Throw some respect on Manu's name. Only 8 players ever have won 4 NBA titles and a gold medal in the Olympics. And he is the only non-US dude to do so until Ben Simmons does it. The other 7 are Bill Russell, Casey Jones, Jordan, Pippen, Kobe, Magic, and Shaq. Not bad company. And look, he's not a big guy like Mark Bradke, but he's sweaty as hell and he's amazing. So salute, Manu, our new Mark Bradke, Sweaty White Guy of the Week. All right, we'll be back. Post-haste with the Dally Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Inspiration Board and some game previews. Let's do it.
G'day, this is PDX Pete. When I'm not sipping on IPAs or throwing down voodoo donuts, I'm tuning in to NBA Straya. Fuck yeah.
Fuck yes. What do you reckon? How good is this? It is time for the Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Inspiration Board, or as it might now be, the Matthew Dellavedova Inspiration Board. Game Day Baller, Game Day. Matty Dellavedova Inspiration Board. Yesterday, Dally tweeted out Anzac Day, hashtag, lest we forget. And yes, it is Anzac Day over here. So, look, a moment of silence. All right, on yous. There you go. Anzac Day. Good job, Dally. Patty Mills has not tweeted out, so come on, Patty, let's get there. So let's get to tonight's game previews. We've got 4 games, so let's do it. Game previews. Game previews. Nice one. Let's do it. Wiz at Raps. What do you think, Inadvertent Bane?
I believe the Raptors will win.
Yes, that's right, Inadvertent Bane. The Raps trying to go up 3-2 at home. It's 2-all in this Wiz Rap series. It's crazy. Jurassic Park gonna be jumping at the front of that Raptors arena. The weird thing is Wall has kind of figured out how to make it work over the last couple of games. These dribble drives, side pick and rolls with Otto Porter and Gortat, picking up switches so Wall gets a little bit of room and can kind of do what he wants. But really, what the Wiz just need is a massive game out of Brad Beal. Like, just go fucking sick for like 45, Brad. And Wall also needs to do some good shit for them to have a real chance, because I can't really see the rest of their dudes coming up big on the road. I mean, Otto, I like to get Blatto. Porter is a bit dinged up. Kelly Oubre isn't going to have your 30-point explosion. So it's really on your superstar, all-star backcourt away from home. Can you do it, Wizards? Can you? I don't know, and I don't think so. On the flip side, I think Toronto's bench will just have a classic bench game at home and shred. And DeMar DeRozan there and big booty Kyle Lowry get the ball moving and back into the Raptors back into their groove. You might expect maybe the Raps to be a little bit tight and a bit nervous, 2-all going home. It's now a 3-game series, but I think they fucking crush him, right? Drake will be there in some fancy-ass sweater like a giant fucking dork, talking shit to John Wall. Like, hey, man, I bought a broom. It's like, oh, did you, Drake? Is that now at home, you fucking idiot? Nice one. So give me the Raptors at home. Pacers at Cavs. This is straight A. Fucking fascinating. Come on, man. If Cleveland lose this, like, series is over. LeBron finally will lose in the first round, I reckon. So does LeBron play all 48 minutes in this? What, 46? Yeah, he's going to play like 46 minutes, I reckon. What do you reckon he's going to end up with? 38, 12, and 12 or 46, 15, 15? I'm going to go the latter. Give me a 40, 15, 15 game. What they actually really need is Kevin Love to crush like a 25, 10 game and take some of the scoring load off of not just LeBron, but the bench and the secondary guys, so we don't have to like lean so heavily on you know, Jordan Clarkson and JR, etc. So he's got to go at Domantas Sabonis, the Souvlaki King. Yeah, double meat. Thanks, Domantas. Thad Young and Miles Turner. Come on, Kevin Love. I know your left thumb's all banged up, but got to go out there and fucking boost. George Hill is still questionable with his back. They really fucking need him too. For the Pacers, Victor Oladipo had back-to-back shock as an Indy. You got to wonder if he bounces back on the road and shreds. It's going to be interesting. I think the Cavs will still win this. At home, a must win. I'll lean on the side that has LeBron. That's how it goes. Wolves at Rockets? Yeah, nah. See you, Wolves. That was fun, but man. Big Carl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggo Wiggins got exposed early and often in this one. The Wolves are going to appreciate the experience, I think, but I can't see them winning this one in Houston against a locked-in Rockets team. They could have stolen game one, but I can't see them, even if they should have been a four seed. Topping the Rockets in Houston tonight. I think Rockets kick their ass. Give me Rockets. And Juz at Thunder. Oh, shit. I just want the Thunder to win this up so we can tie it up and get more of this series because it's easily the most fun of the remaining first rounders. Like, just in terms of the actual basketball between Donovan fucking Mitchell, jingling Joe Ingles, playoff P, the Utah crowd going bananas, Rusty and Mallow being shithouse. So many almost fights. It's fucking great. So I just want the Thunder to win and go back home in game five. You know their crowd is going to be fucking nuts. So I think they get just over the hump. Utah might have a slightly more flat game than the Thunder. Give them their best shot and win it. That'd be my guess. I reckon we might see an okay game out of Mallow and Rusty finally turns one on two and get us to a game six back in Utah. Nice one. You know what? That was pretty good. So I'm going to... am I just picking all the home teams? Raps, Cavs, Rockets, and... Oh, yeah, M. That fucking sucks. Sorry about that. What are you going to do? You know what? Not much. Too bad. That's it for today. That's NBA Australia. We're back tomorrow with more ridiculousness. Got a couple of... we'll probably have a couple of series to wrap up, maybe. See how we go. In the meantime, follow us on Twitter at NBA Australia. Like us on Facebook, Instagram, all the good stuff. There's just a constant stream of dumb artery, you know that. Don't forget to make sure you subscribe to NBA Story on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, wherever else you get all your podcasts. Tell a mate, go, oi, dickhead, you like basketball? Why don't you listen to NBA Australia? Check us a rating and review while you're at it as well. That really fucking helps, so do that. That'd be awesome. Thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro song. Go check out their new band, House Hats. They are the best band in Australia. Their new single, Stop, is an absolute fucking pearler too, so... check them out. Go request on Triple J. Just do it, dickheads. Extra special thanks to the legends at Green, 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 Iowa, Fascinator, Dozers, Sex Jedi, and the Ramshackle Army for the tunes you heard throughout the episode. NBA Australia supports Australian bands. Check them out on Bandcamp and Facey. That's it. Stick around for a brand new Andrew Bogut slams a bunch of Twitter snowflakes from Twitter, and we will catch us tomorrow, you dickheads. This is NBA Australia saying... later, Hosan! Alright, welcome to this week's show. I'm Andrew Bogut, and this is Andrew Bogut slams a bunch of Twitter snowflakes from Twitter. Because remember, with all these latte drinking, snowflake SJW feminists out there distorting the world and being very sensitive to everything, someone needs to tell it like it is, mate. Like real truths and everything. So that's what I'm doing. I speak the truth. And if you don't like my opinions, you can go get stuffed, eh? And now I'm back in Australia and signed with the NBL. I've got plenty of time to talk to you idiots on fucking Twitter about footy and the East-West link, eh? Total win. So let's get stuck in. All right, what's this dickhead saying? So this dickhead, Andrew Dunn, says, according to Andrew Bogut, I have to respect Izzy Folau's right to tell me I'm going to hell, but apparently Izzy Folau does not have to respect me as a human being to not say that. Oh, what the fuck? Never said that, champ, but nice try. Said he's got the right to say what he wants, but then has to deal with the consequences. Yeah, you fucking dickhead. Oh, and he comes back to me. He says, oh, it would have been nice if you'd been a little bit more forthright at that part. Oh, fuck you, Matthew Dunn. Would be nice for you not to misquote me for your agenda, you fucking dickhead. There you go. Jesus Christ. Some fucking snowflakes out there, I'll tell you that much. Okay, so what else? Oh, you know what I've been loving? I've been loving being back in Australia because I can watch heaps of footy. It's fucking sick as. So... I'm going to tweet this out because it's crazy with Anzac Day being so long after the rest of the footy bit. Let's see what I can say about that one. We'll only adjourn those right about the long break between games that Melbourne, Richmond, Essendon and Collingwood have. Or will we just hear about the short break they have the week after if they lose? Oh, my God, tell me about it, eh? Classic journalisms. All right, so, the NBA just tweeted this one out. This is a great photo of my friend Ben. The NBA says, Ben Simmons accepts the Kia Eastern Conference Rookie of the Month Award. Hashtag Philly Unite. Huh, fuck you, NBAs. You dickheads misspelled Rookie of the Year. It's not Rookie of the Month, mate. Big Simo is just amazing. Okay, so this is an interesting one. I'm going to retweet KG's Air 21 because that dude is mad as, bro. This guy, this lady, she says, that's why I think people underestimate how valuable Steph Curry is. KG, Candace Parker, and Gary Payton talk about Steph. That's my mate. So I'm going to say this one. Been saying this for years. No other superstar in the NBA will be humble enough to allow another superstar on his team to take some of the spotlight without any adjustment periods or ground pains, leading to a wrestle for the reins. Such an underrated part of who Steph Curry is, mate. Perfect, mate. Oh, geez, did I get you guys during the week? Hey, mate, I left a bunch of clues out there for your internet sleuthings to figure out. So I tweeted out, first one, let's do it. Are there any roster spots left for the upcoming NBL season? Asking for a friend, dot, 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 dot. Yeah, there you go. What do you reckon? Oh, here we go. And then I tweeted out, bucket list, bridge climb. Oh, are they going to get it? I don't know. Oh, and then we had the Sydney Kings. That's right. Andrew Bogut's new team. They tweeted out, breaking, press release with details, 10 a.m. Monday. Well, we welcome a new king, Andrew Bogut. Better tweet that out as well. Bingo. Yes, right. Bogey's joining the Kings, mate. This is going to be fucking sick as. I'm just like Shane Heal, but 7 foot. So Andrew Bogut, I'm going to tweet out. What do you reckon? Let's talk about Sydney Kings. So press conference at 10:30 a.m. from the Place Bank Arena in Sydney. I'm thinking about handing out a prize for the most unique and well thought out question. No pressure, media. Hashtag did it for the boys. Nice one. All right. So did you see my amazing introduction ceremony? It was beautiful, mate. I felt very special. So I'm going to tweet this one out. Let's do this, Sydney. Thanks to everyone out there for all the support and non-support. That's fine too, you dickheads. Great day for the NBL and the Sydney Kings. Yeah, that's right. Because Andrew Bogut's joining them. Hey, this is going to be sick, bro. I don't want to move to Sydney, but can I do this from Melbourne? I should have asked that. So Mark Bosnich, he tweets out, welcome back, Andrew Bogut. Thank you for coming to the show. Go Sydney Kings. I'm going to tweet that out and say, anytime, bro. On your bozza. Okay, and look, this announcement has prompted some responses. So look, thanks to the Warriors fans for the nice, brackets, not accustomed to those on social media, wishes for my new journey with the Sydney Kings. Thank you, guys. It's been very nice. Oh, and Jordan, he says, don't forget about your Bucks fans, too. Oh, of course. Never at the Bucks. Right there. Thank you. From Andrew Bogut. What's this one? Oh, this. Oh, look at these dickheads. What a bunch of snowflakes coming after me for playing for Sydney. This guy, Sterling, he says, you bum, not NBA caliber anymore, waste man. Oh, what the fuck, Sterling, you dickhead? You should not use a word like that when you have a head like that. Nice one, Andrew Bogut. I'm funny. That was good. Oh, what about this guy, dickhead? He says, is Michael Batten. He says, anything to say about those Bombers of yours? 110 Sunday, most likely to end one team season. Collingwood thoroughly deserved that win. Beat the living suitcase out of us. Oh, geez. That was a rough one, I'll tell you. Oh, who's this dickhead? At Zaran Terp. Just T, you fucking dickhead. He says, don't pretend you care about footy, mate. You came home to join the Sydney Kings and not Melbourne United. Then you have the nerve to speak things Melbourne related? You've done nothing for your home city. Oh, fuck you, dickhead. Clearly, a pretend footy fan because I signed in Sydney. Well done, mate. Your brain clearly works well. Oh, Jesus, what a dickhead. Oh, my God. Oh, and this dickhead comes back at me. He says, my point that it was that you pretend to care about all things Melbourne related and even get involved in the political commentary in Victoria. Then you go and join Sydney like the dud that you are. Glad Ben Simmons will be the face of Australian basketball now. Heck, even Ingles. Good riddance. Oh, fuck you, dickhead. You don't even have your name on your Twitter. I better tweet back. Sorry. All I heard was, wah. I agree on Benny and Joe, though. They deserve it, bro. Oh, okay, so look. Also, it's Anzac Day, so I better tweet this one out. Lest we forget. I better follow that up as well. Oh, and go you Essendon Football Club Bombers. Hashtag Anzac Day. That's pretty good, Bogey. Don't forget. And you know what? That is it for this week. I've been Andrew Bogut, and this has been Andrew Bogut slams a bunch of Twitter snowflakes from Twitter. I'll catch you next week on NBA Australia.